You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
What's up, everybody? It's Broman. We're here for episode 12. Episode 12 of Ask Broman. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Episode 12 of Ask Broman. We've made it. It is a fantastic Friday, November 24th today. I had a fantastic time with my Thanksgiving here in the U.S. with my family. If you're new to the podcast, my name's Ben, Professor Broman, and we like to party. So let's get some people in here. Let's answer some questions, make some people's days better. And, you know, hopefully a little bit of inspiration on the same side of that as well. So let's grab this guy. His name is Mr. Sidious, and he has been in the Discord channel like almost every time I have tried to do this episode.
Howdy.
And yeah, hey, what's up, Mr. Sidious? How are you, man?
I'm okay. Just got something to eat, and I'm happy as hell now.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's good. What are you eating? What you got?
Chicken wings.
Barbecue chicken wings. Special. Oh, my God. You're a man after my own heart. I love chicken wings. What can I do for you, man?
I'm not a streamer myself. I don't think I could get into that. It's too much hassle for me. But I have only one real question.
Sure.
And that is, what are your thoughts on all these different people thinking, complaining and saying things about the in-game buying options for like microtransactions?
Okay. So what are my thoughts on microtransactions?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, we haven't talked about this on the podcast yet, and it's a really interesting subject, right? So microtransactions are kind of like an ever-present part of gaming now. They're in almost every game, whether it's a full release or a free-to-play mobile game. And the issue that a lot of people have with microtransactions, and this is becoming a more and more real as microtransactions grow and as governments start to deal with them, the big question is it considered gambling? So if you guys don't know what a microtransaction is at all and you're listening and you're like, what the hell is this? In games, you have the option to buy like an item, like a box. And inside of that box, there's a whole bunch of random rewards that are, you know, sometimes to make your character more powerful. Sometimes they just give you pretty shit, but it's always random. And so this has been a system that's been around in gaming for a while, but now it is sort of the latest vanguard of monetization from every developer, because as game development prices go up, they have to find new and interesting ways to fund things. And the most recent controversy around microtransactions, which this probably made it onto your radar if you're listening, was EA and Star Wars Battlefront.
The memes in that game is really high.
Yeah. So Star Wars Battlefront 2, when it launched, it had microtransactions in it. And it was something like you would have had to spend like $2,100 in the game to unlock everything up front. Or spend a ridiculous amount of time, like 2,000 hours in the game to unlock everything. You know, like 40 hours just to unlock like Darth Vader or something like that. So the community backlash against that was huge. Disney got involved with EA, and EA changed their stance, which is good. But the long-term question is, with microtransactions, is are they gambling, and have they been used in a kind of predatory way against uninformed consumers? And I feel like many developers have misused microtransactions. I feel like EA and a lot of other companies have taken microtransactions to a point where they aren't assistive to the game. Like, I like to think of microtransactions as a tip, right? Like, oh, I really like this game a whole lot, and I'd like to see more of it, so I don't mind spending X amount of money on a microtransaction.
Yeah.
You know, so like a developer that does this really well is Warframe. You can get anything in that game for free. It's constantly updated for free, and it's a free game. They basically built the best model you possibly could for free to play. And then, you know, they didn't charge you for anything. Now, if you want to buy something the day that it's launched, it can end up being really expensive, or you can just be patient and wait. And I think that that's sort of the gold standard of microtransactions, is if your game is good enough, people are going to spend money on it. Anyway, I think that one of the big problems is that people don't really think that the games that they're playing, like, they're being rushed out the door. They feel incomplete. There's a whole lot of other critiques about the gaming space as a whole that may or may not be valid. There's so many dimensions. I feel like microtransactions are hard to unpack. I personally would like one of two things to happen. One, I'd like them to go away completely and the gaming industry embrace a practice of actually charging an amount of money for a game that is relative to how much it costs to produce the game. So games have cost about $60 no matter what over the past however many, you know, years. And inflation is a thing. So that $60 doesn't buy as much now as it did when the Nintendo first came out like 30 years ago. And so inside of that, there's a funding problem already because you're sort of playing a losing economic game. So they're playing all this follow-up stuff. I would much rather spend, $80 to $100 on a release title and get everything for it forever than pay $60 for a game and then have certain structures and practices inside of that game placed in front of me to force me to spend that extra $40, if that makes sense. So I think that's one good solution as far as like a potential, well, I guess like a potential solution. But the other issue is that it's just like, it's just gotten so ridiculously expensive to make games. And my concern is that like economically everything's sort of in a bubble and the gaming industry might have to go through some pretty strong corrections that drive innovation to bring costs down for game design. So that way you don't end up with these massive bloated games that cost millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars and they're struggling to break even. So there's that's one thing. But the thing I can tell you about microtransactions right now is that more and more countries are ruling them as gambling. And the second that the US decides, like the whole market of the US, I think they just passed something in Hawaii that said like loot boxes in games are considered gambling. I think that if that happens, it's going to change the gaming industry in a big way. And it might force that correction. But if loot boxes are suddenly considered gambling and overnight, all of these games that are funded by microtransactions, even after initial purchase, games that people love, like Overwatch, and games that people don't love, like Battlefront 2, are all going to be in a really awkward place.
Yeah,
that's so. That, I mean, those are that's like
section. I agree with would be something that's cosmetic only.
Yeah, and I think that I think that that's how microtransactions started. Like, oh, I play this game all the time. I love it. Oh, cool! I can dress up like a dragon. Oh, well, then I'll dress up like a dragon, and it doesn't matter if it costs me 2 pennies or if it costs me $100. I don't mind because I like the game. It's gone from that to, would you like to progress faster in our game, pay money, which I also don't think is necessarily wrong, as long as the gameplay loops inside of your game are rewarding and they slowly lead to that, which is sort of like one of the things that Warframe does so well. Like, you can invest 200 hours in the game to get the thing you want, or you could buy it right now for X amount of money. And most people just choose to invest the time because the core gameplay of Warframe is just so enjoyable. But when you have a game that doesn't have a really solid core gameplay loop, and then it's like, well, pay to progress faster, and you're like, I don't understand, then things start to get a little bit sticky and confusing. And that's why you end up with things like Battlefront 2, where people are paying for a full-priced game, but they weren't getting everything that they thought they were buying.
Yep, that's kind of game I was thinking about.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where I stand on all that. I think that the gaming industry as a whole, from how I understand it, is sort of like nothing about it seems healthy from an economic standpoint. People are worked to death to get games out the door. The price points make it difficult for publishers to fund things. And all of that makes it really difficult in today's kind of environment and to produce a fully featured game, you know? So I think that, like, if they decide that loot boxes are microtransactions, or if they if loot boxes is gambling, and if the governments that are around the things sort of force a change in the industry, things will get in a more healthy place. But I worry a lot right now that the gaming industry is about to go through a really rough time economically from the business side, because it just seems like there are these great developers putting out these really expensive products, and yet they're not able to make their money back. And like, that's a scary situation for everybody from the top down.
Yeah, that's really answered the question I was thinking.
Anytime, man. I love talking about stuff like that. It's like the whole gaming space is just really interesting right now on the business side. And microtransactions to me seem symptomatic of a larger problem, and the way they're approached, at least. And I'd love to see that symptom go away, but there needs to be a real solution behind it.
It's like they say, if they were to take away microtransactions altogether, it'd make games too hard to buy because they'd be too expensive.
It could potentially balloon some prices.
I mean, it's pandering to people that just want to pay to play. They pay to win, basically.
Yeah, and that's not good either. So it's been this really negative feedback loop, because people have put up with it for a long time, and I think Battlefront 2 is kind of like a sentinel event leading up to what might, like, if it's been a long time since there's been backlash against a game so hard that the developer just straight pulled the plug on part of it. And that happened with Battlefront 2. And I think that every developer and publishing house in the gaming industry has got to be paying attention to that and saying, okay, like, the tide might be turning on this. We have, you know, countries ruling that this is what we're doing is considered gambling and children can't gamble. And all this other stuff. And my hope is, or my thoughts are, the publishing houses and developers that figure out how to solve that problem are going to be around in 10 years. And my concern is that the developers and publishing houses that don't figure out how to close that funding gap, that might show up if microtransactions get essentially outlawed, you know, they might not be there in a decade.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking a lot of lately as well.
Yeah. Well, those are my thoughts, man. Thanks for asking your question, dude.
Thank you.
And thank you for your really creepy Pennywise picture that shows up in my Discord every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like that picture.
It's a good picture. It was a good movie, too. But you have a good one, man. I'm going to get to the next question. Yeah. See you later, dude. All right. That was a good question. Microtransactions and funding and economics, it's all a big mess. And everybody feels really strongly about it. It's always interesting to see people's feedback. I don't claim to understand everything about that situation. I like to try and look at stuff from a really capitalistic perspective. And I think that the developers have gotten away with things that a growing group of consumers don't like. And now I feel like enough consumers don't like the idea of microtransactions that it's going to force change, because now developers realize, like, oh, I can't sell my game if I have it with all this bloated crap. So I don't even necessarily think laws or regulation is necessary to fix the issue. But what I do think is that one way or another, change is definitely happening because people are unhappy and making it known. Yeah. So that's it's like I said, it's a sticky issue. It's complicated. And I'm not the smartest person in the world. I feel like a renewed sense of trust that if we are loud enough as a consumer base, if gamers are loud enough as a consumer base, you know, they can positively affect change with, you know, dissent, which I think is pretty great. Honestly, I think it's good as long as everybody's, you know, giving honest and kind critique and, you know, not blowing up other folks' social media sites, you know, with all the other awful crap that tends to happen online. So let's grab the next person here. This is the Daily DPS. The Daily DPS. Hello, sir or madam.
Hey, how are you, Roman?
It is sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
I'm great.
Had to mute the stream real quick.
Oh, no worries, bro.
Yeah. So I just had one question. I was wondering, you've been streaming for a while. How do you deal with people who are like, you pull them in from the stream, and I'm a smaller streamer. So you're hanging out and you have somebody who wants to play with you, and it always feels good. So you pull them into the game and they're kind of rude or obnoxious or anything like that. Kind of like real life trolls, but like they're in your stream and you're playing with them. Like, how do you deal with that?
So I pull in someone to play with and they end up being rude.
Yes.
I mean, I just like, remove them immediately.
Okay.
I might be super mega nice and say, hey, dude, stop that shit. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, like if you're creating content, no matter where it is, your ass is the one that's on the line, not the viewer, you know, or the participant. So if you have somebody involved in your content that is potentially endangering your ability to do it long term, because what they're doing is like counterculture, counter to the culture of your stream, or they just don't, like, they're saying awful shit.
Yeah.
Getting them out of there as fast as possible is a much smarter move than just putting up with it. In the short term, it might suck because you might have like a really, really horrible moment. And, you know, there might be like an argument and confrontation and conflict. But like whatever, in the long term, you are, you know, saving yourself a lot of long term grief. I used to put up with a lot of shit because I was like, I just really want your viewership. But at the end of the day, like that extra one viewer doesn't mean shit if they're a horrible person, and they could actually end up really fucking up the vibe on your stream for a long time.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Now, obviously, like you want to handle that situation nicely. You don't need to be run up and be like, you're a fucking jackass or whatever.
Yeah.
The hardest part is handling conflict like that on stream, because then you're in front of people. And the internet loves to take sides. They like to white knight. They like to play the contrarian. They like to make you think that you're wrong. You know, you've got 1,000 people with 1,000 different opinions, and nobody's going to like what you do, no matter what. So if you're handling conflict, just handle it the best way that you can. Be, you know, be straightforward and be honest.
Okay.
And that's that's all you can do.
All right.
And then move on. Don't let anyone else drag you back into the conversation. Just move on.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I've tried to do stuff like that. When it's only happened maybe like once to me, I think, and I've experienced it in other people's streams as well. The other streamer handled it pretty well, and I tried to handle it as well as possible too.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Good. Well, then you did everything right, man.
All right, cool. Thanks, man.
You have a good day, bro.
All right, you do the same.
Thank you. Conflict is rough. Like, conflict on stream or in front of anyone is just such a difficult situation. Like, it's so hard. Because everyone's going to want to weigh in on whatever it is you think. And the best thing that you can do is do what is right. Do what's going to be best for you long term. Don't be an asshole and then move on. And don't feed any critiques about how you handled the situation publicly. Like, you can evaluate what you did negatively afterwards, but if you're second guessing yourself in front of your audience, it just doesn't, it's not a good look. And it can lead to more questioning. And it's just like, it's a bottomless pit of whether or not you handled something correctly. And the best thing you can do is just walk right over it. The best thing you can do is just walk right the hell over it and not deal with any of those people. Let's get this guy. Hello, Flinty Cloth. Hello. Hello, Mr. Flinty Cloth. Are you there? See, so what happens is that sometimes people sit in Discord to ask a question, and then I pull them in, and they're not ready. So we're going to have to pick someone else, and that is unfortunate. Let's get Rubber Ducky. What's up, Rubber Ducky? How are you doing today?
Not bad at all.
Yourself? Excellent. I'm doing great, man. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I've been wondering how you face anxiety.
Anxiety? About what in particular?
Like, I have performance anxiety. Let's just say that for one. I take medication to help help me.
So
with
you've
mine.
Got so you have a lot of anxiety. Just about everything in general. Yes. Anxiety isn't really something. I mean, like, I guess growing up, I had a lot of social anxiety. I was always worried about saying or doing the wrong thing. And then I realized that was a really paralyzing feeling for me, and it was making me miss out on life, and I hated that more. So I forced myself into situations that would make me really anxious. And then out of those situations, I was like, you know, I grew, because it's like a muscle. You just sort of like work it out and you get used to being a little bit uncomfortable with stuff. And you just push forward until it becomes a non-issue. So that's how I dealt with it. Streaming was huge. You know, even though when I started, I was like air quotes an adult, I still had a lot of aspects of my personality I wasn't entirely comfortable with. But streaming sort of helped me realize, like, it doesn't matter. Like, you can accidentally say something really stupid, and you know, the worst that's going to happen is everybody's going to laugh at you, and then you just get over it, you know. So that's what I did to deal with my anxiety. Are you having anything in particular, like, that you have to deal with every day that's really just crushing it for you?
Nothing really in particular, but like, when it comes down to, say, when I'm streaming and there's something I have to read, I fuck up a lot trying to get it right.
Just reading. That's just fine, dude. Like, I'm dyslexic. Like, you know, like, I have a hard time reading. It's okay. Like, everybody has flaws. That's the other side of the equation. Is like, one, like, you can put yourself in a situation, get uncomfortable. But two, like, everybody has flaws. And as long as you're willing to admit them, nobody's going to ever hold that against you. And in fact, being able to admit the fact that you may have, you know, some personal flaws is actually really empowering for anyone that may come in contact with you, because knowing your flaws and putting them out there in front of everyone else is scary, but it's so unbelievably helpful to anyone else that's around you, that you might by bearing your flaws make some lifetime friends and a real lasting impact on someone else.
All right. If you don't mind, I have another question.
Yeah, of course.
How do you get, like, good viewer retention?
Viewer retention. The short answer to that is by adding as much value to your stream as you can. So digging deep and thinking, and this goes for anything that you create. What makes what I do different? What makes what I'm presenting more impactful, important, meaningful, worth watching than the next guy? And finding your strengths and capitalizing on those and leveraging them on your stream gives people a reason to come back, because they know that they can only get that experience when they are watching you.
All right. Like, I try to stay very viewer centric. I try to start up a conversation and keep that going as long as I really can.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you feel like's going wrong? Do you feel like something's going wrong?
There is a little something going wrong. I managed to start up a conversation, but eventually it feels like it just dies.
Yeah, that's normal. I mean, most conversations normally fizzle out. That's fine. You know, like there are a few like hacks you can do. Like you can have a list of topics to talk about and you can just keep cycling through them, you know, until you've gone through all of them, and then you can call it a day, you know, like there's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, like, it's all right to have some moments where, you know, there's silence and people aren't talking.
Yeah, I get really uncomfortable with the silence. I feel like I need to say something.
Yeah. You don't. You don't need to say something all the time, always. You know, as long as you have some steady interaction and you're making sure you're talking every 1 or 2 minutes, like, that's positive. You know, that's happening. There are some people that say things like, oh, I'm super interactive with chat. And then if you tune in, they'll just not talk. They're not interact with anybody for like 20 minutes at a time. So, you know, setting reasonable expectations for yourself, setting up something as simple as like a guideline that says a timer that only you can see, that's like time to start talking to chat again, you know, like it'll go off and you're like, oh fuck, I haven't been talking. So it's time to start talking.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Thanks for the advice.
Yeah, man. Anytime. I hope that it sounds like, you know, you're focused and you know what you want to do. You just need to be patient and keep working on improving. Which, you know, you're doing. You wouldn't be here if you weren't trying to improve currently. You know what I mean?
Thanks for the talk.
Yeah, man. Anytime. You have a good one.
You too.
Bye, dude. What a nice guy. Anxiety's tough, man. When you're streaming, it's easy to get anxious. And I mean, even if you're not streaming, like, anxiety in life is rough. But I always find that when I focus on, regret instead of my anxiety, it motivates me to do things. So, like, if I'm really worried about something, I think about how much more, like, anxiety or disappointment I would be experiencing if I didn't go for it, if I didn't take the risk that I needed to take. Because for me, you know, my whole life, I've just taken risks. If something looked fun, I would try it, even if it scared me. That's why I've had 10 different addresses from the time I turned 18 until now. You know, I had a new address every year for 10 years. I lived in Puerto Rico, Tennessee, Indiana. Like, I just moved around. Whether it was following jobs or chasing dreams, that's what I did, because I couldn't bear the thought of what would my life be like if X or Y was happening instead, because I didn't take the risk. So that is my mindset there. Let's get this guy, Specialist Dex. We're getting through a lot of questions really quick today. It feels good.
Hello?
Hey, Specialist Dex, what's up, man?
How's it going, bro, man?
It's going wonderful. What can I do for you today?
I'm just curious. So I stream in the Battlefield Directory for a lot, and Destiny.
Sure.
You know, a few other ones, but do you find that, like, for guys starting out now, like, I've got almost 500 followers, and
that's great.
You know, it's nice. I get like average 10 viewers kind of during a day.
That's great.
Do you find, like, would it be better to kind of stick with the smaller directory in a game you're good at, or would you like branch out a lot more to other ones as well?
I mean, like, discoverability is at its highest when people are looking for whatever the game is that you're playing, like, in market. So having a little bit of flexibility in your schedule to move around and try different things is important. you know, one piece of advice that I feel like I've been giving over and over again recently, which is good, is, you know, examine the games that are being purchased right now in volume and see how they're being represented on Twitch. Because if there's a game that a lot of people are buying, but no one is streaming, that's a great place for discoverability, because people are looking to find out what that game is like. And you can put yourself in there as part of their purchase decision. And then all you have to do is entertain them. And now you have some meaningful growth on your channel from variety, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that actually does. Like, for like what you'd kind of be saying is, for example, like there's the new the expansion coming out for Battlefield. Battlefield averages, you know, 1,000 or under viewers per day. So when the expansion hits, more people will come to see that. But yeah, then in addition, more people will be like, oh, this guy's playing this as a sniper. I want to look at that.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's great. Like, you know, so you've got a plan. You understand, like, oh, when this DLC hits, it's going to increase, you know, the people who are looking around for my, you know, my podcast. And that's awesome. But the bigger issue is you need to figure out ways to execute on that concept right there long term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, the thing is, like, I really enjoy the game, and that's why I kind of play it. Like, I'm really good at sniping and that, and that's the main process of doing it. Like, I love Destiny, but kind of in the Destiny director, you're more or less buried for those kind of things.
Well, yeah, and Destiny's not a good place to grow your channel right now. That's a poison. No. that's a poison well right now. The community's angry. Yeah. The developers are unresponsive. It's not a great long-term. It doesn't have great long-term outlook for investment. And so for a game that is based off of investment, it seems to have none. So streaming it is sort of counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Then kind of off to that, what would be, like, other than trying to, like, keep chat involved, like, I find that I have a fairly, like, I find my stream is quite advanced for a lot of people that are kind of in the same place as mine. So is that sort of something that some people might look for as well? Like, they're looking for, like, you know, a nice clean look to the stream, a consistency to the stream.
I think that how your stream looks matters some, but I think that too many people focus on polish instead of core content.
You can have
the most beautiful stream in the world, but if you're a boring ass son of a bitch, you're a boring ass son of a bitch, and no one wants to watch your channel because you're boring, and that's okay. Because maybe broadcasting isn't for you, and that's okay too. Mm-hmm. Like, not everybody's good at everything. I'm not over here thinking that every person could be a, you know, 1 million followed broadcaster on Twitch. I don't even know if I'll ever get to a million followers on Twitch, you know? So it's crazy to me that some people tend to think that what I really need to do is, and this is the critique, what I really need to do is just get a new webcam. I just need to get a new overlay. I just need to get better emotes. When in reality, you need to be focusing inward and be like, oh, I just need to be a better entertainer.
Yeah.
So I think that when people are browsing Twitch, they are looking for a place where they can feel like they belong in a community that they fit in. Aesthetics is great. It might give the thumbnail effect where people are like, ooh, pretty, and then they click on it. But that is certainly not 100% of the market. And I would almost encourage you, if you're going to, like, do time allocation, spend 80% of your time trying to improve how you do what you do, and then 20% on making it look good until you feel like you're very confident and you know what your stream is about. Then you can focus on all the other stuff, like making it look good, distribution, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I don't have a lot of time into streaming, so I feel like a lot of people watch and they're fairly happy with, like, what they see when I'm playing. And because, you know, I have webcam, I have reactions to whenever something happens, because stuff happens and stuff's funny and all that sort of thing. So I think it's just more to, like, getting more time in and that sort of thing.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. I mean, I think that you're asking the right questions right now. Mm-hmm. For where your channel's at, and that says a lot about your state of mind. I think you're on a good path, and I think you're chasing after the appropriate stuff. And I look forward to seeing where you're at in a few months, man.
Cool. Yeah, no, I'm a dad, and everything.
I can hear that you're a dad. They're running around. Which I was about to ask you about. Yeah, yeah. How many kids do you have?
I have two. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Oh my God, what a guy! Well, do you want to go ahead and shout all your stuff out? Let people know where they can find you if they want to find you.
Sure, it's twitch.tv/specialist_dex, and I have Discord and everything is linked in there as well. So.
All right, man.
All right. Mr. Impact got it already. Thanks, man.
All right. There you go. Fantastic.
All right, thanks.
See you later, man. Yeah, spam that guy's link in chat a little bit. You can always tell when somebody's got like the right mindset when they're growing. How can I improve? As opposed to how can I get more viewers or how can I get more followers? Because that ultimately, it has an effect. But it's like when you're focusing on that, you're not focusing on providing quality content. You're focusing on doing whatever it takes to reach whatever next arbitrary number that's following in your mind is something that you need to be doing, which can take you off focus. It can make you start making dumb business decisions, dumb stream decisions, and take you away from what actually matters, which is entertaining people and having fun, or being the best at whatever game you play. There's a lot of different approaches to broadcasting, but at the end of it, you need to make sure that your focus isn't just growth. Growth is cool, but having an actual connection with someone is way cooler. It's way more impactful and powerful. And ultimately, that's what builds the communities that Twitch thrives on. And without you understanding that that is the number one thing, you're going to start making decisions that focus on the number two or three thing. And then you're going to it's just going to, and I don't want anybody to, I want everyone to do well for sure. All right, let's grab this guy. He's been hanging around for a while. Hello, Game Freak. How are you? Perhaps. Or maybe you are AFK, and I dig that. Let's try and grab someone else. Hey there, Jerry Bear. He might also have just gone AFK, which would be really funny. We would be 2 for 2. 2 for 2 AFK people back to stinking back, which would just be like ultra great. And I think that's what we've got. So let's grab this guy, because I know that they are definitely there. Legendary Ladman, how are you?
Hey, buddy.
How are you, man?
I'm doing good, thanks.
I'm doing good, and I'm happy that you're here and you're not AFK. It feels great.
I know, I'm not AFK. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So my question.
Yeah.
So I stream at night. So
yeah, you do.
The hours I have are far and few. So it's usually from 10 to like maybe 1 or 2 in the morning, depending on how tired I am or if I am notorious for falling asleep on stream because of the hours. Mm-hmm. And so with the little bit of time I have, like I said, which is about 3 hours or so, there's always that constant that everybody has of that mind mentality, I should say, of, always streaming. Stream as long as you can for as many hours as you can, as often as you can.
Yeah.
The problem I'm struggling with is I don't think I put enough hours out there because of what my schedule is.
Yeah.
And obviously having a full-time, 40-hour plus job and all that kind of stuff, wife, kids, and everything too. So how do you go about getting, I don't know if saying bang for your buck is the best word.
No, it's a great word.
For it, but like, how do you put the most into as little time as you have with, like I said, like only having like 3 hours a day to stream if you get to every day.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like that's that. Well, so you're already in the right place, right? You're thinking about the right thing. You have limited time, so you need to be focused on quality, right?
Correct.
So that's a great place to be. Your time slot's actually kind of advantageous. I know that a lot of people think about it like a disadvantage, but I'm telling you, streaming late at night when everyone else is sort of getting offline, especially that 10 p.m. time, like that's when a lot of people are like, I'm going to go to bed now because I'm tired and I've been streaming since X time. I think that's actually a really great opportunity. For you, I think a lot of it would be like monitoring what games are being played when, and then, you know, focusing on providing some sort of, you know, style of entertainment that maybe isn't super present during those time slots. Like, those might be some things that you can do to drive quality. But
okay,
ultimately for me, like, if I only have 2 or 3 hours, like, I want to be, like, for me, that would mean like, let's be really high energy. Let's give a reason to, let's give a reason for people to show up right when I start. So that, you know, the whole community's there right at the beginning, and, you know, I'm still not having people show up much later. Everyone who wants to be there can be there right at the start. And then just rolling, like, no intro, focusing on interaction as much as possible and things like that. And what those large concepts mean for your channel, I don't know, because I'm not your channel. But I think ultimately the answer to that, you know, based off of what you have as strengths, is going to be the best plan for you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I dig that. Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
I think also, like, a lot of people think that late night streaming is like bad, but it's great. It's actually awesome because there's less people around. Streaming during the day is oversaturated, and yeah, there's like more people to watch, but I definitely feel like discoverability is easier up front for folks who do late night or overnight broadcasting on Twitch, because there's the overall density of broadcasters is down. There's just less people online streaming.
That is also true.
Yeah. You got any follow-ups for me?
Yeah, I've always got follow-up questions.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Another one is, we were just talking about, you know, nighttime stream. I always make a joke out of it. I'm like, I'm everybody's nightlight, because there's a certain part of during that stream where most people just kick me on and I'm their nightlight when they go to sleep. I know they're there and they're lurking, and that's great and that's awesome, and I love that. But at the same time, it's really hard to talk to people that are sleeping.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you, like, once you get done with, you know, the here's we kicked off stream, here's we're our starting conversations and it's rolling good, and a couple hours go by and then there's just nothing. Like, they're there in chat, but there's nothing in chat. You know what I mean? So how do you keep that going?
I mean, you just keep talking until someone responds, and then that person is your best friend and you want to know everything about them. That's what I did. You know, keep talking. So then somebody says something and then you just jump on them, and now you're best friends. And how's your mom? How's your dad? What they have for dinner? What do you do for a job? Where's your girlfriend? When's the last time you've been on a date? Oh, you don't have a girlfriend? Well, like, are you trying to find a girlfriend? Like, just everything, you know, build as much value into that one relationship as you possibly can. And hey, look, if you do that 10 nights in a row, right, now you have 10 people that are actively talking to you.
I dig it.
Yeah.
I kind of do that now. It's just, it's like nonstop talk.
Sure.
But maybe I'm talking, I don't know, maybe I'm talking about the wrong stuff. I don't necessarily talk and there's like narrate between, everything that I'm doing. And
difference between talking about what's going on or talking at people and trying to talk with them, if that makes sense.
Like, no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, like requesting input, asking questions, you know, like basic conversational techniques that you would use to make sure somebody's staying engaged in the conversation. You know what I mean? That's the kind of stuff that people, you know, like, ultimately that's what builds engagement, is, you know, that conversation that you're driving constantly. Like, for me, it was asking questions. I never fucking stopped asking people questions. I didn't give them a fucking chance to leave. Because we were talking so much, we were interacting so much, and we were sharing so much, because I knew that that's, you know, that is the lifeblood of, you know, communication, is it's that connection.
Right.
And yeah, sometimes, like, and I'm not saying that there's no best way to do this. Like, it's like I just told you how I did it, but some days it's not going to work, and that's okay. You just need to keep going. You know, right. There isn't a magic bullet for interaction. Otherwise, everyone would be great at it. You know, there's not a killer app that lets everybody know that you're live and what you want to talk about that day. You know, that's the creative side of what we do, is one of the big parts that I think gets ignored is driving interaction and building community. It's very difficult to do without a plan going forward, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I always try to ask, you know, question after question after question, or you know, make fun of my lackluster gameplay at whatever, you know, I happen to be playing that night. So, I mean, it's, like I was saying, maybe I'm just asking the wrong stuff, or I'm asking too much of the wrong stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just, you know? That's like, you know, self-analysis, critique, edit, and then get back out there with a new plan. Just don't keep doing the same thing if you feel like it's not working.
Right.
You know, change it.
Change will be made.
Change. Good. I'm glad to hear it. I you know, I wish I could tell you exactly what to do, but I can't. But you know what to do, or you will discover it because you'll sort it out, you know, as long as you put forward the effort. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So do you want to tell everybody where they can find you since you recently changed your name?
Yeah, well, funny story about that, because I'm an idiot. So I finally get the name I want on Twitch, going from Legendary Ladman to Ladman. But guess what? Apparently everybody else in the world that owns a Twitter, a Facebook, a Snapchat, or something has Ladman.
Oh, so, wow. So that's rough.
Yeah. So I'm Ladman on Twitch, but Legendary Ladman and literally everything else.
Well, there you go. You know, you're easy to find in one location. There's nothing wrong with that. So you are twitch.tv/Ladman, and then everywhere else, it's Legendary Ladman.
Yes, sir.
No spaces, nothing else.
None spaces.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your questions, man. Best of luck on sort of hacking out your best nighttime strategies. And I'd love to hear back if you feel like you've found what works for you as far as driving interaction. Like, I'd love to have you back and we could talk about that, because more perspective on that's always valuable.
I would absolutely love that.
Yeah. Anytime, man. You have a good day.
You too. Thank you, sir.
All right, man. We were just blasting through all these questions today. All right, I'm gonna see if we got Jer Bear, or we've got Jer Bear came back, so now we're here. What's up, Jerry Bear? Hopefully you are here right now and we can talk and you can use your words. It's always really funny because Twitch just introduced name changes, so now you have name changes for people that you've been watching them for like years, and now they suddenly have a different name. It makes it very difficult to kind of keep track of people sometimes. And if you change your name and you can't match it on all your socials, then you end up being in a bit of a difficult problem. Jerbear is muting and unmuting himself viciously. I would recommend him to check all of his devices to make sure the right ones are selected. So while Jerry fixes that, we're going to go ahead and grab this guy. His name's Philly. What's up, Philly? How are you doing, my guy?
Hey, how's it going, bro, man?
Hey. What can I do for you, bro?
So actually, this will be my second time on here.
It's your second time on here. Did you change your name?
No, it was back when you did Storytime Sunday.
You've never been on this before then, bro.
No. So I'm coming up to my year getting out of college, and I kind of feel like I'm in a slump almost.
Senior year in college. You're like about to graduate.
No, I graduated last December, so I'm a year out of college.
Oh, okay. I got you. Okay. So you're about to hit your 1 year anniversary of being out of college.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like I haven't done what I feel like I should be, or where I should be at right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to get my certifications and stuff like that. I've been working 2 part-time jobs, doing like 60-hour work weeks the past year, but I just don't feel like I'm where I need to be compared to other people who are like my age.
Yeah. I gotcha. So like, why are you so worried about, like, how old are you?
23.
So like, why are you so worried about like where everyone else is at versus where you're at?
Because people who else are in my like field of study have already gotten their jobs. They've gotten their full part-time jobs. Either that, they're going to medical school, or they've already gotten like a bunch more internships.
Gotcha. So you're going into medical? Yeah.
I want to be a strength conditioning coach.
Okay. So you've got a really unique situation just in and of that, is that most people who do strength and conditioning and fitness and sports, like, the easiest way to get started into that is to become your own boss and to start your own program, which, like, maybe that's daunting to you, but
yeah, kind of. I've looked into it. And
but just... there's also not a lot of really, like, sports and conditioning coach jobs, I would imagine, right?
There is a good amount, but yeah, you need to have, you actually have to get a certification and go through an exam and stuff like that, mm-hmm, which I went and I studied about 3 months for, and I missed it by about 3 questions. So I've kind of been in, like, a slump waiting for the 90 days until I can retake it.
Sure.
I just see all my friends that have been doing internships with different professional.
Well, fuck those guys, dude. Like, don't fucking, like, so. No, like, legitimately fucking stop worrying about them. First of all, like, just don't. You're 23 and you have a shit ton of life left in you. 90 days in the grand scheme of things isn't going to matter too much. Like, it's 90 days. It sucks. Everyone else is moving on and you can't because, you know, this test didn't go well. But you have 90 days that you can spend doing something that those guys or gals that just got hired can't do, right? So no matter how they got hired or for whatever they got hired for, you know, they have to focus on that job now, but you don't yet. So you can start doing all this other stuff that's going to become really important and relevant to the way that you're probably going to be operating as a strength and conditioning coach long term. You know, things like building your social media presence, or even figuring out how to, like, if you spent 90 days waiting for this retest, right? And you started focusing on, like, okay, how do I do fitness content on, like, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube? And you started to learn how to, like, populate all this stuff with the content that you're doing. Not only is it going to, like, one, give you something to do while you wait, because you have to wait at this point, but it might end up giving you an advantage over every other potential hire, because when they look at you, you can be like, you can be like, oh yeah, well, by the way, like, I do all these things, like, you know, and I'm 90 days is enough time for you to learn how to do a lot of stuff online. With content creation. And I just had a really long conversation with my sister who's in town, and she is she's an actress, and she is starting to notice that even in her space, which was pretty much a fully defined meritocracy, the best actors and actresses got the job. Even now, people's social numbers are starting to affect whether or not low to mid-level productions are going to hire you over someone else. They'll pick someone who's got a bigger social following because it's going to have a greater impact on the play that they're putting on. And I think that that's becoming more and more prevalent in almost every space, especially in the sports and fitness space. If you can prove to people that you have the chops to produce content, and that you can make, you know, you make a good fitness video, you can make some good Instagram posts that get some good interaction with folks and they drive conversations. It's just going to show that you understand, like, the current state of how a lot of fitness is distributed, which is online. So my recommendation right now is, since you have to wait 90 days, you're already in a hold. Don't just let that dictate your life. Instead of looking at everyone else all day online and making you feel sad because they are somewhere you aren't, focus on yourself and what you can improve right now. Build some skills that are going to add value for you long term for the entire history of your job and career, and begin focusing on them right now, because chances are your friends aren't doing that. And if they are, you need to catch up.
Yeah, it's... And the weird thing about the fitness industry is just you have all these people that have almost no idea what they're talking about when it comes to fitness industry or how to actually work and deal with people. But it's the way they look. And as soon as it's that six pack abs, because I'm not a six pack ab guy. I'm powerlifter. So it's like I'm 275. I don't have abs. I'm not a elite powerlifter. So that's not, doesn't get me into that industry either. And so it's kind of hard to build that fitness industry kind of social media aspect.
It's an advantage. I mean, like, you can look at that as a disadvantage, or you can look at that as an advantage. Like, every single person in that space is an elite power lifter or they have six pack abs. You don't. You could look at that like, well, now I need to, you know, get my numbers up and power lift more, or I need to get six pack abs but then all you're doing is making yourself look like everyone else. And that doesn't help you get a job anywhere. If you look like the same applicant as everyone else, that's not going to help pass your career. The fact that you are what I would assume, like maybe you're a chunky guy that does powerlifting, you know, there's a lot of power in looking like how most fucking people look. They're going to be like, oh, look at this guy. He looks no. Oh, shit. He just deadlifted 500 pounds. What the fuck? What is he doing? That's nuts. He doesn't look like he should be able to do that. And well, now I want to know how he's doing that. It's your hook.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just one of those things. It's now it like just unless you're deadlifting a good 800, 700 pounds or something like that, it doesn't bring you out and doesn't nobody wants to look at
I mean,
you.
It's like, it's oh, that is all that is all excuses that you can mitigate around with creativity. 100%. Mm-hmm. Like I you're already in a place where you can either be sad or you can make yourself better. Mm-hmm. And if you decide to start getting creative now, learning how to do creative things and pushing yourself forward, that sort of stuff is going to pay off for you in the long term. Is it going to get you a job tomorrow? No, it's not going to get you a job tomorrow. Is it going to help your prospects to get a job later on down the road? Sure. Could you in this process discover something? You could go viral. Like you have no idea what's out there. But since you're in a position where that's kind of all you've got right now, which is what it sounds like to me, you either have the choice to do it or not do it. Mm-hmm. And I think you should do it because that's going to make your life better long term. Or you could sit at your phone, like you could do what I did for a long time in my life, which is stare at my phone, be jealous and bitch.
Yeah.
I did that for a really long time. I was just an angry, jealous guy about all the success that everyone else had. And then I just went out there and I started working hard. And
yeah, I mean, I've tried to go the unconventional routes to other people. Like I've talked to different gaming companies because I know a lot of gamers, they sit at their desk all day and they have a leading cause in different like problems like back pain, neck pain, stuff like that later on in their life. And I've reached out to them and talked to them, but none of them kind of want to give me that opportunity as kind of like a corporate strength conditioning person for their company. I don't know if, because I love gaming. That's my thing. I love gaming, but I don't know if trying to get strength conditioning or even just fitness industry involved with the gaming industry will ever happen, or if I just need to make it myself.
So I mean, there's already a lot of companies that operate inside of the fitness and gaming space together. I mean, my coach that I work with specifically, Coach Teisman, is the strength coach for the guys at Optic. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of inroads and integrations there. His name's Coach Teisman, by the way, if you wanted to look him up. Teisman. He's been on he was on the second or third episode of this. There are a lot of inroads there, but again, you can't you can't just take the first no. Like if you want it, you have to go out there and you have to keep asking. And especially if you're in a spot where you're in a holding pattern, like you can keep telling me or yourself that it's hard or that it might not work out, and that both of those things are correct, but like tough shit.
Yeah.
You know,
basically just balls up, just go and do what needs to be done and stop feeling pity for myself, basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, and that's fine. Like feeling your emotions are fine, but I want to get you out of that space and into doing something that's going to benefit you. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's like ultimately like feeling sorry for yourself. Like nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit. Like if you're like, I'm having a bad day, like you'll have two or three people be like, it's okay. But then the next time you tell them you're having a bad day, like they're okay, cool. Well, like get the fuck over it. And I just want to see you be successful. It sounds like you've invested a lot of time. You went to college, you have career goals and you're on hold for a little bit, but you need to start pushing past, you know, this is like a speed bump and you need to look at it like a speed bump and start moving forward to get, you know, to get the things that you want. Cause even if you know, even if you want a traditional job in you know, the fitness industry, the more that you can bring to the table, whether it's a social media following, a unique perspective, which is something that everyone has, or your personality, taking the time now to learn how to leverage that and turn it into something that has value is incredibly important to your career long term. Because the better you know yourself, the better you'll be as a coach all around. Okay.
Yeah. That's, yeah, it's just a lot to take in.
It is. I mean, it's a lot.
I've been telling myself all the time because I watch you a lot. I'm just like, you've been through more than probably most people will in their life. And you came out and you just kind of were determined from it. So it's kind of one of those things. It's like, I'm trying to push myself through, but it's one of those things where I'm stuck in this hold. I know what I need to do because I can't get any farther progression in what I think of my career goals or any skills that I can progress because I'm not big in social media.
Whatsoever. People, I mean, listen, people threw up roadblocks my entire life to me and advancing my, like, you know, like there are a lot of things. There are a lot of people who have come about whatever their success was easier than I have. Like a lot of people. I have always felt my whole life like I have to work 10 times harder to get the same result as someone else. And I just tell myself, like, that's my lot in life. That used to make me incredibly bitter and it used to make me angry. But listen, like, tough shit. I have to work 10 times harder to get the exact same hamburger that someone else is eating. But that's fine. Like, that's my life. I can sit there and I can complain about it and get worried, or I can put in the work. And maybe I can put in 11 times more work and I can slowly gain ground towards my goals. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes 100%.
Yeah, man. I want you to succeed. And I think that you really need to look at the time. I think you really need to look at the time that you have right now as a moment to reflect and then execute on advancing your goals or steering around this obstacle that you have right now. And the more you adapt the mindset of, like, this doesn't work, try something else, instead of this doesn't work, I suck, the more you get used to doing things like that, the faster you're going to be able to navigate any roadblock that's in front of you, and the quicker you're going to be able to get where you're going. Mm-hmm. All right, man.
Yeah, Roman. Thank you so much for everything. It really helped.
Anytime, Philly. I mean, I know that was some tough love, but, like, I just really want to see you be successful. And you have an opportunity right now, even though you don't feel like you do. It is an opportunity to make things better.
Yeah.
All right, dude.
All right. Thanks so much.
You have a good one, man. All right, dude. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. For watching today, thank you for tuning in to Ask Broman. That's going to wrap it up for today. I appreciate you all for listening. We got through a lot of questions today. If you didn't get to your question today, we'll probably be doing our next episode on Sunday or Monday. So you can tune in. You can follow me on Twitter at Professor Broman to find out when that's going to be. Again, if you're listening to this and it's still the holiday weekend, I wanted to remind you that King's Coast, my coffee company, we are running a holiday deal right now. We just launched hot chocolate. We also have our first discount code that we don't really give out very often. Okay. Don't really give it out very often, but our code for the holiday season is thankful. So if you use that, you can get 10% off anything in the store. You can get 20% off a new subscription that you set up. And if your order is over $75, the shipping is free. So we have that as well. Thanks for listening, guys. Make sure to leave a little comment, a little review, share it with your friends, share it with your grandma, and I'll catch you guys next time on Ask Broman. Peace.